We continue Be'ezrat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Nedarim. We are up to Daf Lamed Zayin. However, we begin five lines from the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet, where it says, Melamdo Midrash Halachot Ve'agadot Avalo Yelamedenu Mikra. This limud is Leilui Nishmat Reuven Ben David, Yosef Ben Tamara, Harav Shalom Cohen Ben Tfach HaMalka, Yair Ben Tov, Anaim Ben Chatun, Yom Tov Ben Chana, Shaul Ben Latif, Erez Ben Miriam, את הרבקה בת מרדכי, רבקה בת דבורה, איבה שלומית בת אילנה אסתר, חיה אסתר, חווה בת שרה, לובה בת מזל, עליהם השלום. Also, לרפואה שלמה, for Aaron יצחק בן ברינה, אברהם בן אביבה, משה בן חנה, יוחאי בן בלוריה, אסתר בת שרה, גרז טובה בת חנה, אלישבע בת נטע, חנה בת צוליקה, אין גבריאלה מסעודה בת שרה. The Mishnah told us that Melamdo midrash halachot ve'agadot, the one who is the madir, the one who is not allowed to give hana'ah to the mudar by power of the neder, is still allowed to teach him midrash halachot and agadot. The madir is allowed to teach the mudar midrash halacha agada, but he cannot teach him mikra tanach. He cannot. So the Gemara begins by asking, Mikra, my ta'ama lo yulamedenu? What's the reason that he cannot teach him Mikra, Tanakh? Mishum deka mehanele. Obviously, it's because he's benefiting him. He's benefiting him by teaching him the Bible, the Tanakh. So the question is, Midrash namika mehanele? So how is he allowed to teach him Midrash? When he teaches him Midrash, he's also benefiting him. So the Gemara answers, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, "Bemakom shenotlim sachar al hamikra, ve'en notlim sachar al hamidrash." The Mishnah is referring to a place where people take payment for teaching mikra, but they don't take payment for teaching midrash. So, by teaching him mikra, the one for whom benefit is forbidden benefits from the fact that he's not paying. It's something that usually is paid for, and he's teaching him for free, so that's the benefit. Whereas by Midrash, it's in a place that anyway people don't pay for teaching, for learning Midrash, and therefore when he's teaching him for free, he's not really benefiting him financially. So the Gemara asks, two-word question, Mai Paska, why is this necessarily the exact way that the Mishnah is talking about? Which means, why did the Mishnah cut the idea and say, we're talking about a case where it's a place where they pay for Mikra, but they don't pay for Midrash. I mean, the Mishnah just writes, he teaches him Midrash, but doesn't teach him Mikra. We're supposed to know that it means that it's in a place where they usually pay for Mikra and they don't pay for Midrash? Why did the Mishnah write it without any qualification? It wrote it stam. What do you mean? It depends on the place. The Mishnah should have been clear. My Pascha. Why is it that the Mishnah assumes that we understand that normally people pay for Mikra and they don't pay for Midrash? Why is that? Answers the Gemara on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Haka Mashmalan. This is what the Mishnah is teaching us. Dafilu b'makom shenotlim sachar. Even in a place where a person takes payment for teaching, Al hamikra share le mishkal, for teaching Tanakh, one is allowed to take payment. Al hamidrash lo share le mishkal, but for teaching midrash, it's not permitted to take payment. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us by taking for granted that we are referring to a place where people normally pay for mikra teaching, but not for midrash. It's teaching us halachically that for teaching mikra, one is allowed to receive payment. For teaching midrash, one is not allowed. The Gemara asks, Maishna Midrash Delo? Why is Midrash different than Tanakh? Why is it that by Midrash one is not allowed to take payment for teaching it? Dichtiv, this is based on a pasuk in Parashat Vayitchanan, where it says, Ve'oti tziva Hashem ba'et ahi lelamed etchem. And Hashem commanded me at that time, Moshe Rabbeinu says, to teach you. Uchtiv, Re'e limati etchem chokim u'mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem. Behold, I have taught you all the laws and the statutes of the Torah as Hashem commanded me. Kasher tzivani Hashem. So what is this extra words, as Hashem commanded me? So the Gemara says, we learn from these words, Ma'ani bechinam af atem nami bechinam. Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, just like I taught you for free, just like I'm teaching you for free, af atem nami bechinam. Also, you too should teach for free without payment. So the question is, the Gemara is asking, then what's the difference? There shouldn't be any difference between Mikra and Midrash. Mikra nami bechinam. Mikra also, like the Midrash, should be taught for free. Why are you saying only Midrash but not Mikra? So the Gemara tells us, here we have a machloket. Rav amar sechar shimur, v'Rabbi Yochanan amar sechar pisuk tamim. Rav says, normally Tanakh is typically taught to children. And so one who's teaching Tanakh, when he's getting payment, he's taking payment for watching the children. That's called sechar shimur, that he's watching over the children. It's not for the teaching of Tanakh per se. Rather, the payment is for the shimur, for the fact that he's watching over the children. That's what Rav explains, why by mikra it's different, where it's allowed to take payment. The payment is for shimur. Rabbi Yochanan amar sechar pisuk ta'amim. Rabbi Yochanan says the payment is for teaching the pisuk ta'amim, the punctuation of the text, and the ta'amim, the cantillation notes. So this is something that payment can be given for, not for the actual teaching of the mikra, of the meaning of the psukim. So that's the difference between mikra and midrash. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, lo yelamedenu mikra. The Madir should not teach the Mudar mikra. So now the Gemara says, Bishlam aleman de'amar sechar pisuk te'amim. I understand, according to the one who says, according to Rav Yochanan, who says that the payment for mikra is for the pisuk te'amim, for the teaching of the punctuation and the cantillation notes. So haynu de'lo yelamedenu. So that's the reason why he should not teach him Tanakh. Because teaching him Tanakh includes teaching him the Pisuk Te'amim. The Pisuk Te'amim is something that normally is paid for. And here he's doing it for free. So that's how he is giving him Hana'ah, he's benefiting him. So that's why the Madir cannot teach the Mudar Mikra. Because of the payment that normally is given for the Pisuk Te'amim, which here he's not taking. So he's giving him a Hana'ah, he's benefiting him. But according to Rav, who says that no, the payment for teaching Tanakh is not for the Ta'amim. The payment for teaching Tanakh is because of Shimur, of watching over the children. Gadol bar Shimur hu. What? A Gadol needs to be watched? Would there be payment for watching the Gadol? No. So anyway, he's not benefiting him because there's no payment for watching a Gadol, an adult. So why can't he teach him? According to Rav, the payment that normally is given for Mikra is not for the Pisuk Te'amim. It's for the Shimur. Shimur is not applicable by a Gadol, by an adult. So why is it that he cannot, according to Rav's reasoning, the Madir should be able to teach Mikra to the Mudar? Answers the Gemara. Bekatan katani. The Mishnah is talking about a case of a katan who does require watching. And he is the one who is mudar. He is the one who is prohibited by the neder from deriving benefit from this madir who is teaching him. So when it says, lo yelamedenu mikra, it's talking about a case of a katan, where the mudar is a katan. So there is an issue of shimur. Normally people take payment for the shimur, and here he's going to teach him for free. So he's benefiting the katan. The Gemara asks, well, ibe katan, if it's talking about a case of a katan, ema seifa, continue on to the next clause of the Mishnah. What does it say? Aval melamedet banav mikra. But he can teach the mudar's children, he can teach him mikra. He can teach them chumash. Which means, even though he's not supposed to teach the mudar mikra, but the mudar's children, the madir can teach. So the question is, if we're talking about a katan, katan bar banim hu? Does the katan have children? What's the case that the Mishnah is referring to? What does that mean? The madir can teach the mudar's children chumash. But if the mudar that we're talking about is a katan, the katan has children? How does that make sense? Answers the Gemara, chasure michsera vehachi katane. The Mishnah is missing words, and this is how it should state. Lo yelamedenu mikra bekatan. When it says the Madir should not teach the Mudar Mikra, that's referring to the Katan, right? The fact that he's not charging for the Shimur, that's a benefit, and therefore that's why he cannot teach him. Then you have to add the words, Im Haya Gadol, in a case where the student was an adult, Melamdo Lo Ulevanav Mikra, then the Madir can teach him or his children Mikra. He can teach him because he's a Gadol, he doesn't require watching. So there is nothing that he's benefiting him with financially. And he can teach his son, because the payment is for watching the son. And so therefore, it's not benefiting him. The Gemara continues to bring another question regarding this machloket between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. What's the payment of teaching Mikra for? Metivei, a question from a Braita. It states in the Braita as following. Tinokot lo korim batechila b'shabbat, ela shonin barishon. The children should not read a part of the Tanakh for the first time on Shabbat with their Rebbe. However, ela shonin barishon, they could review a passage that they already learned once. So on Shabbat, the Rebbe should not teach them a passage in the Mikra for the first time. Rather, he can only review with them a passage that they already know from before. So the Gemara asks, "Bishlama leman de'amar sechal pisuk tamim." It's understood according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the payment for the teaching of Mikra is for the cantillations and the punctuation for the pisuk tamim. Sahaynu de'en korim batechila b'shabbat. So then I understand why one is not allowed to teach them something for the first time on Shabbat, because then he's going to be paid for something that he's doing on Shabbat, because he's going to be teaching them the Pisuk Te'amim of this passage that they never knew before. So he's going to be training them the Te'amim and the punctuation of this part of this passage of the Torah. So that's something that he's going to be deserving of payment, and he's going to be paid for something that he's doing on Shabbat. So that's why En Korim Batchila B'Shabbat. Rather, he can only review with them something on Shabbat. Once he's reviewing with them a passage that they already know, so he's not really teaching them anymore the Pisuk Tamim. They know already the Pisuk Tamim, and therefore he's not being paid for teaching on Shabbat. But Ela Leman De'amar Sechar Shimur, but according to Rav, who says that the payment for teaching Mikra is for watching the children, then what's the difference? Amai en korim batechila b'shabbat ve'amai shonin barishon. Why not teach them something for the first time on Shabbat, and why are they allowed to review what they already learned before? But ha'ika sechal shimur de Shabbat, isn't he getting paid for watching the children on Shabbat in both cases? So what's the difference if they are reviewing or they're learning something new? In both cases, he's watching the children, and so he's going to be paid for that. That means he's going to be paid for something on that he's doing on Shabbat. So why would that be allowed? Again, according to the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan, that the payment is for Pisuk Tamim, so that's only relevant to the first time. But if they're reviewing something, they don't know, they already know the Pisuk Tamim, therefore he's not going to be paid for something that he does on Shabbat. But if the payment is for watching them, then he's watching them by the review, just as well as he's watching them when he's teaching them something new. So there is Sechar Shabbat, how would that be allowed? So the Gemara, however, rejects this question by asking a counter question. Uleta'amich, wait a second. And according to your reasoning, you're saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, oh, the Braita is all understood. Really? And according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the reason for the payment of Mikra is for the Pisuk Te'amim, right? So, wait a second. Uleta'amich, sechal Pisuk B'Shabbat mi'asur, would it be forbidden to take payment for Pisuk Te'amim on Shabbat? Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're explaining the Braita, the reason why you're not allowed to teach them something new, because you're going to be teaching them the Pisuk Te'amim, and then it comes out that you're being paid for something that you're doing on Shabbat. According to Rabbi Yochanan, would you be not allowed to get payment for Sechal Pisuk, for teaching them the cantillation and the Te'amim? But Havla'ahi, Vehavla'ah Mishrashari, after all, it's a case of havla'ah. Havla'ah means when you incorporate the payment for teaching on Shabbat into the weekly salary of the teacher, meaning he's not being paid specifically for Shabbat alone. That would be Sechar Shabbat. But he's mavliya. He incorporates the teaching, the payment for teaching on Shabbat to be part of the salary that he gets for the entire week. So he's not being paid only for Shabbat. He's being paid for the whole week. And included in the salary of the whole week is what he taught for Shabbat. That's called havla'ah. V'havla'ah mishashari. And that is allowed. Incorporation of the payment for Shabbat into the salary of the week is permitted. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braita, hasocher et hapo'el lishmor et hatinok. One who hires a laborer to watch a child, like a babysitter. Or lishmor et hapara, or you hire a worker to watch over your cow. Lishmor et hazra'im, or you hire a guard to watch over the seeds, your seeds of your field. En notnim lo sachar Shabbat. So the halacha is, you cannot give him payment for Shabbat specifically. That's called sechar Shabbat. It's not allowed. Lefichach im avdu eno chayav be'achrayutam. And therefore, since you're not allowed to pay him for Shabbat, if the items that the worker was entrusted to watch were lost on Shabbat, eno chayav be'achrayutam. He doesn't bear the financial responsibility to compensate the owners for them, because he's not a paid watchman. He's not a Shomer Sachar. Shomer Sachar would be Chayav Be'achrayut, someone who is paid, who is hired with payment to watch over something. So then if it gets lost, he is responsible to compensate the owner. But since he's not being paid for Shabbat, so he's like a Shomer Chinam. He's a person who is a watchman for free. And a watchman for free is not Chayav Be'achrayut. And if they get lost, all he has to do is to promise, to swear that it was lost, and he doesn't have to compensate the owner. However, if let's say this worker was hired for the entire week, here the word Shabbat doesn't mean the day of Shabbat, it means the week. If he was hired for the entire week, not just for the day of Shabbat, or Sechir Chodesh, or he was hired for the entire month, or Sechir Shana, he was hired for the entire year, or he's a Sechir Shavua, he's hired for 7 years. Over here, Shavua doesn't mean week, it means 7 years. So then in this case, noten lo sechar Shabbat. Then in this case, he gives him the payment for the work that he performed on Shabbat as well, because the work is incorporated into the weekly salary or the monthly salary or the yearly salary. That's called havla'a. And then the Braita ends off by saying, nefichach im avdu, in that case, if let's say the items were lost, chayav be'achrayutan. He does bear financial responsibility to compensate the owner because he's considered a shomer sachar. A shomer sachar is responsible if any of the items are lost. So what do we see from this braita? We see the concept of havla'a, that if you incorporate the work of Shabbat into the payment of the entire week, of the lump sum salary of the entire week, then it is allowed to pay him for what he did on Shabbat. So then, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't understand this Braita that we learned before. What did it say in the Braita before? It said that he's not allowed to teach them something new on Shabbat. He's only allowed to teach them review. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, how did we explain? Why is he not allowed to teach them something new? Because then he's teaching them Pisuk Te'amim, and payment for Pisuk Te'amim will be payment on Shabbat. But the question is, what's wrong with that? He's being paid in a way of Havla'ah. He's being paid in a way that the money for the work that he performed on Shabbat is being incorporated into the weekly salary. That should be mutar. So why is it asur? Rather, ela gabi Shabbat haynu tama de'en korim batechila. Therefore, you have to understand the Braita differently. The reason why the Braita says that the children are not supposed to learn something new, a new passage for the first time on Shabbat, is for a different reason. Not because of Schar Shabbat. Mishum de yifnu avahat hon de yanuke le mitzveta de Shabbat. In order for the fathers of the children to have leisure and extra free time on Shabbat to enjoy Shabbat together with their children. You know, if the fathers are going to teach new material of Torah to their children, that would occupy more of their father's time, and it would limit their opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Onik Shabbat. That's the reason why they shouldn't teach the children something new, because that will take away time that should be spent in Onik Shabbat. That's the words mishum deyifnu avahat hon deyanuke, so that the parents, the fathers of the children, should have more time lemitzveta deshabeta, to the mitzvah of oneg Shabbat with their children. That's why you should only teach them something that they know already, which will be finished quickly. It's lighter, it's easier, not something new that you will have to work hard and spend more time. That's the reason of the Braita, nothing to do with Sichar Shabbat. Ve'ibayit ema, or we could say alternatively a different reason. Mishum de'bishabeta achlin v'shatin v'yakira lehon alma. Because on Shabbat, the children eat and they drink more than they are accustomed to eating normally. V'yakira alehon alma. And the world is heavy upon them, meaning their head and their limbs are going to be more sluggish. People who eat more than their normal amount become sluggish. As we know, on Shabbat, we're more tired. So they're incapable of concentrating and studying well something new. So you have to give them something easier. Kedamar Shmuel, as Shmuel said, Shinui veset techilat choli me'ayim. Shmuel said a change in the routine of eating likely causes intestinal ailments, ailments in the stomach pains. And therefore, since the children are eating more and drinking more on Shabbat, you can't teach them something new. They won't be able to focus. You have to only, therefore, you can only review with them something that they already know. So now the Gemara asks, Uleman de'amar sechar pisuk te'amim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the payment for teaching Mikra is for the pisuk te'amim, for teaching them the punctuation and cantillations. Why didn't he say that the reason is like Rav said, that it's because of payment of the shimur, of watching over the children? So the Gemara says, you know why? Because kasavar banot mika ba'yan shimu, because he holds that do girls need watching? Which means, from the Mishnah where it says that he should not teach mikra. That's it. That's all the Mishnah said. That's mashma. Even if it's teaching the daughter, right? So when it comes to teaching the daughter, is there an issue of shimur, of watching? Girls don't need watching. They stay home anyway. They're not accustomed to going out. It's the boys that like to run out of the house, and therefore you need to pay the Rebbe for just watching them and keeping them in one place. Girls normally don't run out of the house. They're not accustomed to doing that. They stay at home. So therefore, that's why he said the reason is not because of sechal shimul, because that doesn't apply to girls. He gave a reason of sechal pisuk te'amim. Uleman de'amar sechal shimul, and according to the opinion of Rav, who says that the payment is for shimul, for watching, mai tama lo amar sechal pisuk te'amim. Why did he not say the reason, like Rabbi Yochanan, that the payment is for teaching the pisuk te'amim? Kasavar pisuk te'amim de'oraitahu. That's because Rav holds pisuk te'amim, the teaching of punctuation and cantillations, that is something that is mideoraita. So therefore, it's included in the prohibition against taking payment for teaching Torah. That's part of the chukim u'mishpatim that we learned before in the pasuk, ma'ani bechinam, afatem bechinam. So that's why pisuk te'amim, you cannot be paid for the pisuk te'amim. That's part of the teaching of the Torah that should be for free. So therefore the reason, according to Rav, for the payment of Mikra is because of shimur, because of the fact that he is watching them. Now, how do we know that pisuk te'amim is de'oraita? Because the amar Ravika bar Avin, amar Rav Hanan el amar Rav. Rav Ika bar Avin said in the name of Rav Hanan, Elu said in the name of Rav. My dichtiv, what is the meaning in the pasuk in Nehemiah? Vayikreu basefer betorat ha'elokim, and they read in the sefer, in the Torah of Hashem, meforash vesom sechel vayavinu bamikra. Meforash, they learned it clearly, and they put their mind into it, vayavinu bamikra, and it caused them to understand the reading of the psukim. So Rav explains each part of the pasuk here. Vayikre'u basefer betorat ha'elokim, that means zemikra, they learned psukim in Tanakh. Meforash, zetargum, clearly it means they read the targum, the translation, so that the meaning was clear to them. Vesom sechel elu ha'pesukim, some sechel, they put sense into the words by psukim, by the proper punctuation, by knowing the where to end each sentence. That gives proper understanding. And sechel, vayavinu bamikra, and they understood what they were reading, ze pisuk te'amim. That was because of the punctuation and cantillation that they were taught, which facilitates the understanding of the psukim. Ve'amri la'elu ha'mesorot. And some say that included in Vayavinu Bamikra is the traditions, the mesorah that we have, how to properly vocalize the psukim, how to properly vowelize the psukim, whether it's otam or atem, all this is mesorot. So that is included in Vayavinu Bamikra. So what do we see over here? That Rav holds that the te'amim, the pisuk te'amim, is an integral part of the study of Torah. He explains it into the meaning of Vayavinu Bamikra. So therefore, that's part of the drasha, of the explanation of the Torah. That cannot be the part that is paid for. It has to be bechinam, as Moshe Rabbeinu said, ma'ani bechinam afatem bechinam. On a related note, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Mikra Sofrim, the correct reading that was handed down to us by the earlier ones, the correct reading and vocalization of the psukim. The Itur Sofrim, Itur Sofrim means the ornamentation that the Sofrim put into the Torah. What does that mean, the ornamentation? That means the extra words in the Torah that were made just to beautify the language. Sometimes there are words that are just to enhance the beauty of the sentence that is written. That's called itur sofrim, the words that were added by the sofrim. Vekaryan velo ktivan, and the words that are read, but they're not written. As the Gemara will explain cases, certain words are read, but they're not written inside. Uchtivan vela karyan. Certain words are written, but they are not read the way they are written. That's a kri uchtiv. All this is halacha leMoshe miSinai. All this are handed down to us from Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. The Mikra Sofrim, the correct reading, vocalization of the psukim. The additional words that seem superfluous, that's only for the purpose of enhancing, is also halacha leMoshe miSinai. And the kri uchtiv, what's read but not written, what's written but not read, all this is halacha leMoshe miSinai. And now the Gemara will explain each part of this statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. Mikra Sofrim, what is examples of Mikra Sofrim? These are words that are not vocalized or vowelized the same way in each place. For example, Eretz, Shamaim, Mitzrayim. For example, the word Eretz, sometimes we read it as Eretz, sometimes we read it as Aretz, or Shamaim. Sometimes it's Shamaim with a kamatz under the mem, right? Sometimes it's Mitzrayim with a kamatz under the resh. Sometimes it's with a patach under the mem, or a patach under the resh. How do we know when it's like this and when it's like that? That is halacha leMoshe miSinai. That's called Mikra Sofrim. So these are examples of proper nekudot, proper vowelization to read the words correctly. Itur Sofrim, words that are expressions that were understood in a way that is different than the plain understanding. Words that were written for beautification of the language. And the psukim would have been understood the same even without them. What examples can we see? Such as, for example, Achal ta'avo. When Avraham told the guests, he could have said to them, V'sa'adu li bechem v'ta'avo. Come and enjoy a meal, and then you can go. Why the word achal and afterwards is added? It seems superfluous. Or achal telech, where it says, Teshev ha'na'ara itanu yamim o asor ve'achal telech. Let her wait with us, let Rivka wait with us a few days, and then afterwards she can go. It could have just said ve'telech. What's achal telech? Or achal te'asef. It says, Nakom nikmat b'nei Yisrael me'et ha'midyanim, achal te'asef. Hashem said to Moshe, avenge the Midianim, the Nekama of Bnei Israel in the Midianim, Achal Te'asef, could have just said, Meta Midianim Ve'Te'asef, and then you will die. Or another Pasuk, a Pasuk in Tehilim, Kidemu Sarim Achar Nogenim. It could have said, Kidemu Sarim Ve'Nogenim. Why Achar? And Tzidkatecha Kehare Re'el. It could have said, Tzidkatecha Hashem, your righteousness, Hare Re'el, is mountainous, is as great as mountains. Why is the extra kaf written, Kehare Re'el? So these are examples of added letters or added words that are just to enhance the language, to be even more proper grammatically speaking. That's called itur sofrim, and all these are given to us, and more. The Gemara only gives us a few examples, but there are many, many more, obviously. And all this is halacha Moshe Sinai. And now, what about examples of karyan velaktivan, words that are read, but they are not written? And the Gemara now gives us a list of examples in the Tanakh, such as karyan velaktivan, prat, the word prat, de belechdo. The word prat in the pasuk in Shmuel Bet Perek Chet, pasuk Gimel, that's the pasuk called Belechto, because it says, the pasuk in its entirety is Vayach David et Hadad Ezer ben Rechov Melech Tzova. David smote Hadad Ezer, the king of Tzova. Belechto lehashiv yado bin har perat. It doesn't say the word perat, it just says Belechto when he went lehashiv yado bin har, when he went to establish his control over the river, and we read Perat, even though it doesn't say Perat. Or another pasuk, another example, Ish, de kasher ishal ish bidvar elokim. The word Ish in the pasuk in Shmuel Bet Perik Tetzain, where it says that asking advice from Achitofel in those days was kasher ishal ish bidvar elokim. Now it only is written kasher ishal bidvar elokim, but we read the word Ish, although it's not written. Another example, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Aleph, the word Ba'im de Nivneta, in the pasuk of Nivneta. That means, Hine Yamim Ba'im Ne'um Hashem, Ve'Nivneta Ha'ir Lashem. So it doesn't say the word Ba'im, but we read the word Ba'im. Another example is the word La in the pasuk Difleta of Peleta. That's a pasuk in Yirmiyah Perek Nun, where it says, Al yehi la peleta. It doesn't say the word la, but we read the word la. Another example is a pasuk in Rut, Megillat Rut, Perek Bet, the word et in the pasuk of Huged Hugad, where it says there, Vayan Boaz Vayomer la, Huged Hugad li kol asher asit et chamotech. But we add the word Huged Hugad li et. Kol asher asit lechamotech. And the next example is a pasuk in Megillat Rut as well. The word Eli de Hagorin, of the pasuk Hagorin, where it says, Vayomer, Vatomer Eleha kol asher tomeri e'ese, we add the word kol asher tomeri Eli e'ese. Also, another example from Rut, where it says, Eli de Haseorim, the word Eli, in the pasuk where it says Vatomer shesha seorim ha'el natan li ki amar elai al tavoi, it doesn't say the word elai, but we read the word elai. Halen karyan velaktivan. All these are examples of words that we read, although they are not written. What about examples of uchtivan velakaryan, words that are written but we don't read them? So na deislach. The word na in the pasuk of Yislach, that's a pasuk in Melachim Bet Perek He, where it says, Ladavar haze Yislach Hashem le'avdecha. And later on in the pasuk it says, V'ishtachaveti bet rimon, V'ishtachavayati bet rimon, Yislach na Hashem le'avdecha badavar haze. Now it says the word na, but we read Yislach Hashem le'avdecha, without the word na. Let's continue on. Onto the top of Lamed Chet Amud Aleph, more examples. Zot de Hamitzvah. The word Zot in the Pasuk of Hamitzvah. That's a Pasuk in Dvarim Perek Vav. Vezot Hamitzvah Hachukim veHamishpatim. So the word Zot in that Pasuk is not to be read. It is written, but it is not read. Another example, Yidroch de Hadorech. That's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Perek Nun Aleph, where it says, Al yidroch hadorech kashto. So this, and it says yidroch twice. Al yidroch, yidroch hadorech kashto. So it says the word yidroch twice, but we only read the first one. We don't read the second one. Another example is chamesh tipat negev. That's a pasuk that is found in Yechizkel Memchet, where it says, Ufat Negev Chamesh Chamesh Meod Ve'arba'at Alafim. We only read the first Chamesh, we don't read the second Chamesh that is written. Also, another example from Megillat Rut, Im Deki Goel. The pasuk says, Ve'ata Ki Omnam Ki Im Goel Anochi. And we don't read the word Im, we just say Ki Goel Anochi. Halen kitivan velo karyan. These are examples of words that are written but are not read, and all this we learn from Halacha leMoshe miSinai. We'll continue one more sentence. The Gemara now brings us a minhag of Eretz Yisrael at the time regarding dividing a certain pasuk that we have in the Torah. In the Torah, we have a pasuk in Parashat Yitro, where it says, the whole pasuk is as follows, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hine anochi ba elecha be'av he'anan. Hashem says to Moshe, behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, Ba'avur ishma ha'am bedaberi imach, that the people may hear as I speak with you, V'gam becha yaminu le'olam, and they will also believe in you forever, Vayaged Moshe divrei ha'am el Hashem. And Moshe conveyed the words of the people to Hashem. Now that's one pasuk. It's in Shemot, Parashat Yitro, Perek Yutet, Pasuk Tet. In Eretz Yisrael at the time, they split that Pasuk into three smaller Psukim. Meaning they would read, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hine anochi ba elecha be'av he'anan. That's one. Ba'avur ishma ha'am bedaberi imach v'gam becha ya'aminu le'olam. That's two. And then Vayaged Moshe et divrei ha'am el Hashem. So we see that we have, that we used to have a different masoret when it came to pesukim, as we saw before on the pasuk Som Sechel Elu HaPsukim. So there was a different masoret in Eretz Yisrael at the time, in Yerushalayim, regarding how to split that pasuk, if at all. Today, we have it as one full pasuk. We will continue with Zot Hashem from here tomorrow.